And don't call me Shirley. Where's your mic at? I sure am, if I can find one. There you go. We got 500 up here, but it takes a special mic for you. Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And today is, let me do a couple of announcements. Everybody knows, I'm assuming at this point, that at 3 o'clock this afternoon is the Roar Christmas Yay! And there will be Santa afterwards for the kids.
In here. Santa will be over, right over there. Yeah. We're not going to the fellowship hall because we've still got that COVID thing going on, but hopefully next year we'll be back over there. And so everything's under control. It's just always kind of different since COVID.
So that's the announcement for Edward. Also, I would like to say a couple of other things today. Thank you for the elves that have pressure washed the swing set. In case y'all hadn't noticed, it is like
brand
three
new
shades lighter, and it just really looks good. I'm assuming a coat of paint is coming next, and that'll be good. And another project that has been taken on is redoing the so it's been pressure washed, and the green is off of it. That's good. Green is gone. So thank you for that.
We're going to wait till after Christmas to get rid of the green, you know, but.
Yeah. It's always nice to see progress. Once Christmas is over, the elves are going to get back in the power again. I just want to say that. So, anybody that's looked at them this year and thought, oh, good Lord. But anyway, they're going to get there. Also, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. This is the candle that represents peace. And I'm going to put a little bug in your ears now. The women have done Advent every year for at least the last 10 plus years. Next year, it's the men's turn. I have heard you speak eloquently, Mr. Carroll, Mr. Baker, Mr. Sawyer, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Davis. I know that y'all know the meaning of Advent, and I know that you could do a beautiful job at this, and us ladies are tired. So, if I have not explained it adequately this year, next year the men will be explaining this to you. Thought I would announce that now also. This is not the last Sunday of Advent, because this year Christmas actually falls on a Sunday. So there are 5 candles in Advent. The first candle was of hope, which is if hope comes hand in hand with faith, and it promises, fulfills the promises in the Old Testament, which told 700 years before he was born that Christ was coming to us. The second candle of Advent is the candle of love, that God told us that this was important, and then Jesus gave it to us as a commandment to love one another. The third candle of Advent was of joy. It was the pink candle last week, that the coming, the anticipation, the birth, the joy of the season of Jesus' birth is still alive today. And the fourth candle of Advent is the candle of peace, which is the candle that we'll light this week. It's a candle representing purity, peace, and justice brought to the world by Christ himself, a peace that began in a manger in Bethlehem long, long ago. The white candle in the center represents the body of Christ, and next Sunday, on Christmas Day, we'll light the fifth candle. But for today, we have the four, and voila! Okay, voila! Okay. That one is not voila anymore. But anyway, we're going to pretend all four of those are lit. And I'm going to give you a couple of Bible verses that also speak of peace. We have Isaiah 52:7. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that bringeth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that bringeth salvation, that saith unto Zion that God reigns. Also in the book of Isaiah, you're the only two of the group. It's Isaiah 9:6-7. If I have to get this thing any closer, I'm sure it'll be right up on my forehead. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, the world upon his shoulders, because he was here to save us. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish is with judgment and with justice, and henceforth even forever. When he came, he brought us a peace that shall go on as long as we go on. And that is what Advent is all about. It's preparing for that celebration, that peace, that celebrating the first coming and celebrating the fact that there will be a second coming. And that's it for me today, folks.
Check, check. There you go. Not to be long. Me and him were talking. He said, don't be long-winded today. So good, we got the parade. So this is part one. And next week on Christmas Day, somebody said, why do you want to? I actually heard somebody say, I'm not kidding. And I know people have plans, and some plans can't be broken and all that. But I heard somebody say, why do you want to have church on Sunday and ruin everybody's Christmas? I heard that. Not here. Praise God. But I heard that. Why do you want to have church on Christmas Day and ruin Christmas for everybody? The reason that we're here is because Jesus Christ was born. Amen? That's right. And so we're gonna have service next week. It might not be a long service, but it's gonna be a good service. And I am thanking God for the service next week. Now, I was reading up, and I know y'all talk about get a new book, get a new book, get a new book. This is a new book. I've been reading all my old Christmas jokes, but this is a new one. All right, brand spanking new. If y'all don't like it, I can tell y'all who to blame. All right, ready? When a father asked his little boy what he wanted for Christmas, the boy replied, a baby sister. As it turned out, the wife was pregnant and delivered on Christmas Eve. So on Christmas Day, she brought home a brand new baby sister for their son. Isn't that sweet? The next year, the father asked his little boy what he wanted for Christmas. The boy said, well, if it wouldn't make mommy too uncomfortable, I'd like a pony. That's got to sink in. He ain't got it. Okay. All right. This is why I said burn the book. I ain't even got it. That's the first page of the new book. Amen. Christmas 2022, Isaiah 9 and 47. I don't know if you've been hiding under a rock lately, but have you noticed that this has become a very, very crazy time that we live in? We live in a time where, honestly, everything is just absolutely flying off the hook. I look around, and as I look around, what I see is people want peace, but we don't call it peace, we call it unrest. That's a big unrest in the world, which peace is the solution, but this unrest. And if you'll notice, this is just a little bit. This isn't even half of it. The watchword of the day is unrest. There's civil unrest. There's racial unrest. There's economic unrest. There's health care unrest. There's global unrest. Has anybody heard that lately? You're watching the news. You see what's going on. It's all over the place. Amen. Well, the most sought word of this day is rest. Unrest is the byword, but people want rest. They want things to calm down a little bit. They want things to get better. And so what I've discovered is that the real rest is actually God's peace, and it's only found with God's rest. Now, God's rest is not a cessation of activity, but it's relief in the midst of it. So when God steps in on the scene, that doesn't mean everything stops. It just means now people get a different perspective, and they begin to see things in a different way. Right now, everybody's seeing things in their own way. Just like in the book of Judges, it said everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And every time they did what was right in their own eyes, Israel would be in a very climatic state. It was just very common for just to be torn to pieces. And they would pray to God, and God would send a deliverer. They'd get their eyes back on God, get God's perspective. And pretty soon, when that judge would die, then they would start seeing things through their own eyes, doing what's right in their own eyes. And when they started doing things, that's what's going on in our nation, in the world today. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. And that's the problem. And so I'm telling you, the world is starting in some places to wake up and to know that the only solution is in God. And so God's fixed, I believe with all my heart, even as all this calamity is going on around us, God's raising up, maybe not a great big judge like in the book of Judges, but little bitty guys all around that God's going to use to tell people. And you may be one of them. You may be the guy on your job. You know, when I was working in Fountain, and they were having race season, or they were having a sales season, everybody's going around, and their nerves were shot, and I go around smiling. And they tell me, this thing's falling apart, and this is doing this, and this is doing that. Can you jump on it? Yeah, I will. And they go, why do you keep smiling? Why aren't you running around chewing your nails and going crazy like everybody else? I said, because I know somebody's in control, and it's not me. And it's amazing how people will come to me, and I wind up praying people through to salvation in boats, on the dock, after work, whenever. They would call me and say, can you please come here right now? And I'm thinking there's a big crisis. And the crisis was, they're saying, look, I saw you this morning, and I saw how peaceful you were, and I saw that you were not, you had rest, where everybody else was full of unrest, and I just need to have what you got. And we would pray right there on the spot. It's amazing how people will notice. God's raising up a bunch of us to let people know that there's still rest in this world, that there's still a way for us to do. And the biggest thing is not to get our eyes, do it our way, but to do it His way. So, just so you know, I love this tonight, it changed everything. Just so you know, this isn't a new problem. I was talking about the book of Judges. That's one of the older books in the Bible. But this problem has been around for thousands of years. And although the causes are many, the solution isn't. The solution is so simple, yet it's so complicated. And that is, watch this, here it is. Back up there, bro. There we go. Who's running this thing anyway? Who's running? Oh, I am. Okay. For the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or rod for the goading, their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Gideon with Midian. For even trampling warriors' boots and all his armor in the battle tumult, even or every garment rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now this is Isaiah's day. Let me just tell you a little history and a little background of what's going on when Isaiah brings this. Now I love this. Look. See that cross? For unto us a son is given, and a child is born. A child is born, and a son is given. Watch this. Isaiah's day. Now, when Isaiah came along, it was a tough time for Israel. It was a very tough time for Israel because some people were going into captivity. Some people were coming out of captivity. Some were going in, some were going out. But no matter which way you were going, there was a whole lot of suffering, and there was a whole lot of pain. Think about the day we live in right now. You know what? There's a lot of suffering in this world. There's a lot of pain in this world. There's a lot of misunderstandings going on. There's a lot of people. The Bible says in the last days that parents should be against their children, children against their parents, you know, brother against sister, all this stuff's going on. And this is the time we live in. I see it. I mean, I see this going on. And if you weren't prepared for it, it would actually blow us away. But I know God said it's coming. Okay? So now, there's suffering, there's captivity, there's pain. Sometimes people were going in all this captivity and suffering for something they did, and sometimes they did it for something that somebody else did. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Y'all say it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter why you're in this. Listen, the pain is still the same. You can't change it. The pain is still the same. Y'all say the pain is still the same. Get ready. The cure is still the same. Y'all say the cure is still the same. Amen? And you know what that cure is? I love it. A child. Amen? Emmanuel. God with us. Very, very powerful. Now I'm not going to keep you long. I already told you that. So just a little bit more and then we're gonna pray. But I do want to show you something here. Again, the night that changed the world. Turnaround was coming. During Isaiah's day, God was fixing to turn the page. I can't help but tell you, all I could hear when I was writing this was the Lord told me to say it emphatically more than one time, is some of y'all need to understand that for your life, the page is getting ready to turn. Something good is getting ready to happen. God is getting ready to break forth. He's going to show you something in a very powerful way. So y'all say this thing. Y'all say this with me. My page is getting ready to turn. Say it. Now point to somebody and say, your page is getting ready to turn. Something special is getting ready to happen. You can't go by what you see. You got to go by what you know. Amen? If you go by what you see, you're going to get discouraged. Go by what you know. Our page is getting ready to turn. Now let me read verses 1 through 5. And this sums it up. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward he did grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joyed before they according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but there shall be burning and fuel of fire. In other words, he's saying is, y'all have had a bad time. It's been rough. There's been a lot of bad things going on, but God's getting ready to do something about it. Look at somebody again and say, God's getting ready to do something about it. Turn around and look at somebody again and say, God's getting ready to do something about it. Amen? Watch this. Get ready. Here it goes. Every time you see this, I want y'all to say this aloud. When you see it come up, I want you to say it. It will not always be like this. Say it. It will not always be like this. Better days are ahead. Say it. Better days are ahead. God has a plan. Give Him a chance to work. Give Him a chance to work. Give Him a chance to work. Amen. Let me tell you something. It may not come when you expect it. It may not come like you expect it or how you expect it. But He is always on time. The Bible says the fullness of time was come, He sent forth His Son. So now here we go. This is so awesome. This scripture we just read. And I love that movie. The Nativity is so awesome. Get ready. You know what I think about, what I like about these modern movies about Jesus is the older movies were kind of made them look like they were theatrical. And Jesus, I saw one last night, and it made Jesus look like He was a Shakespearean actor. And Jesus wasn't a Shakespearean actor. Jesus was a common man. And Jesus knew what it was like to hurt. You know, as a matter of fact, we just sang Away in a Manger. It says the cattle were lowing, or in other words, the cattle are making noise, and the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying He make. That's not true. That's just a song. That's poetic. Guess what? He was born as a man so He would know. He was born as a child, a poor child, in the worst of conditions so that He would know. He would know what it's like to be brought up in those bad conditions. You say, Jesus never wore a diaper. He wore a diaper. He never got any childhood diseases. He got childhood diseases. The Bible said that He was afflicted in every way as we are, but yet without sin. So He knows what it's like. So here it is. Unto us a child is born. That's a cradle. That's His humanity. I love this, these scriptures here. Come on up here. There we are. Job 9:33, if there was only a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. That's Job talking, because now Job is talking to his friends, and his friends are trying to tell him how bad off he's been, and Job is thinking that God has just fried him, and he says, if there's just somebody that could go in between us, because God is God and we are men, there's nobody to go between us, we need a daysman between us. I love some other versions of this. The Amplified version says, there's no umpire between us, who might lay His hand upon us both, would that there were, that He may take His rod away from him, threatening me, and then the fear of Him might not terrify me. And I love the Message version of this. How I wish we had an arbitrator to step in and let me get on with life. Whew. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. That's powerful. You get moving along, you get doing things, and by the time you get doing it, something happens, and you have to stop. All right, what John Lennon said, life is what happens while you're, well, I forget how he says it now, but life is what happens while you're trying to live. Amen? Things just keep changing. Amen? You're trying to get things done, and while you're trying to get things done, something else happens. We'll read it one more time. I wish we had an arbitrator to step in and let me get on with life. To break God's death grip on me, to free me from this terror so I could breathe again. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Job was right. We got to have somebody like that. And so that's what God did. The Bible said in John 1:14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Amplified version. And the Word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled or fixed His tent of flesh and lived a while among us, and we actually saw His glory, His honor, His majesty, such glory as the only begotten Son receives from His Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. So He says, unto us a child is born. That was the cradle. Then the next. Remember, I did this, I think, last year, year before last, that I compared the cradle to the cross, and it's amazing how the cradle and the cross, they are so much alike, just one's at his birth and one's at his death, but everything is so much alike. So there's the cradle and there's the cross in the background. So watch this. He saw a cross. Unto us a son is given. Now that word given, that's His deity. It means to be delivered up, to be brought before to suffer. So, as a child, he was brought to us in order to see, in order for a perfect sacrifice, the days went between us, he had to be 100% man and 100% God. Not 50-50. People say he's 50-50. No, 100% man, 100% God. So as a child is given, or a child is born, that's the 100% man. Unto us a son is given, that is the 100% God. He's given because man cannot atone for our sin. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is deity. Romans 5 and 6 says, we were utterly helpless. Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I like the Amplified version. While we were yet in our weakness, while we were yet powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for and in behalf of the ungodly. Wow. That is so, so powerful. I want to read one more version to you. Let's see if I got this thing up. Here it is. Romans 5 and 6, the message. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. Oh, isn't that cool? I hear people all the time say, when I get doing better, I'll go to church. When I get feeling better, I'll go to church. When I start living right, I'll go to church. I promise you, if you wait till you get living right to go to church, you won't go. Amen? Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do. Man, that is so, so powerful. So, the final word, it is finished. God for us. So God with us, Emmanuel. When he said it is finished, it was God for us. I love this. Satan thought that he had won, but the cross, on that cross was our Almighty God. And guess what? He don't lose. God don't lose. All right. Then one more. I'm getting ready to close. And then he saw a crown. The government was, shall be upon his shoulders. That's his lordship. The Bible says in the beginning is the Word. Watch. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, I love reading different versions of this because it's so powerful. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word Christ, and the Word, which was Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that came into being. The Message version. The Word was first. The Word was present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without him. The Bible tells us when he comes back, and it's not going to be long, in Revelation 19:16, on his thigh. This is the first time he comes back. It's going to be the rapture. That's going to be soon. And the next time he comes back, he's bringing us with him. And he's coming down on a white horse. And his vest is going to be dipped in blood. And on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then finally, we're getting ready to close. Brandon, come here and get ready to play something softly, bro. I love this. What the world needs is a stable influence. I watch all this unrest in the world, and one reason why there's so much unrest is because people are not really pulling together. Even groups that are trying to get things done can't even get it together amongst themselves. And because of that, there's no stability. You don't know what people want. You don't know what to do because everything's so full of unrest. It's so unstable. You can watch TV. You can watch what comes out of the Congress. You can watch what comes out of the Senate. You can watch what comes out of the White House. You can watch what comes out of the state governments. Everywhere you watch it, and it changes. It changes all the time. It's constant. No matter what party it is, doesn't matter who it is, it's just all the time changing. There's no stability. The groups, there's no stability. It's always changing. And so it's like trying to shoot a moving target. You don't know how to get that peace. The world needs a stable influence. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to stand. When the Word became a child, the Creator of the universe became one of us. He became one of us to die for us. He became like us to free us. He walked among us to guide us. He stayed with us to teach us. He rose from the dead to set us free. True rest is not the absence of conflict, but God's presence and God's power in the midst. Everybody stand. I was in Washington yesterday, out there by Piggly Wiggly. Not Piggly Wiggly, I'm not sure, a food line. And I kept hearing, it's like somebody was crop dusting. And I stepped out on the sidewalk and looked, and they were having an air show. And there was a probably an old World War II plane. It was going up way up in the clouds. And then it would do like this, then it would twist around. And it would come down, twisting around. And then it would look like it was going to hit the ground. It would come back up. Then it would turn all upside down. And then it would turn this way. And it would fly off and it come back. And it just kept going every which way. It just never stayed steady. It was just constantly rolling, 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 back and forth and up and down. The motor was trying to cut off several times. It'd go up and it would start twisting. It'd come down and twist and it would come down. And all I can think of is this sermon here. It's like our world right now. No stability. I know he was doing it as a show, but as I saw that, I was thinking, man, oh man, that's how everybody's life is now. It's up and it's down and it's going around. And if you don't have the stable influence, it'll drive you crazy. Matter of fact, if your faith is led by your mind, watch this. If your faith is led by your mind, here's how your faith is doing every day. But if your faith is leading your mind, this is how you are every day. There's your mind. There's your faith. I don't know about you, but I don't like living like that. I like living like that. Doesn't mean things aren't happening. It just means I've got His peace. I've got His joy. I've got His wonder. I've got a stable influence. Life changes so fast. That's what it was. Life happens while you're busy making other plans. That's what it was. Life happens while you're busy making other plans. God's got us. This Christmas, let's not get focused on what we get and receive from each other, but let's focus on the greatest gift of all and our stable influence in this life that brings true peace. God is awesome. Now, when everybody, while you're standing up, bow your heads, close your eyes. First off, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'd like to have that stable influence, but I really, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm right with God. Would you just stick up that hand? And I'm not going to call you out. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you don't have that stable influence because you honestly let your faith be led by your mind and by what's going on around you. And your faith is shaky and you're ready for that stable influence when nobody's looking around. Just put that hand up quickly. I need that stable influence. I need that stable influence. Maybe you're here today and you just say, you know what? I got my mind all in the wrong places. And I thank God that He keeps giving me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get it right. And I don't want to miss that opportunity today. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Did you put that hand up? I want to get that opportunity today. I want what God's got for me. All right, let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. Lord, I need you to come into my life in a harder, more powerful way. God, I need your rest. I need your peace. Help me not to be led by events or by the unrest, but help me be led by my faith in you and by your rest that you give. I ask you right now to touch us, to help us hold on to that stable influence. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Brother Benny, would you just miss us in prayer, please?